Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome back to season 16 of Food for Thought. I can't actually believe it. I can't even believe we're on season 16. And I'm back in the studio here in London. It's fantastic. We've got the most incredible lineup of guests that are going to be bringing you the most fascinating conversations with nutrition, health and wellness fields. We've definitely gone above and beyond, guys, this time. I want to make sure that we have all the best information out there to equip you with the latest scientific evidence and research so you can, of course, live and breathe a healthy lifestyle, supporting you to make informed decisions, because after all, you're the ones that make the decisions with your life. A little bit about me, for those of you that don't know, I am Rhiannon Lambert, a registered nutritionist, Sunday Times best-selling author of The Science of Nutrition, many other books there too, the founder of Harley Street Clinic Retrition and the evidence-based supplements company Retrition Plus. Over the next few weeks, my guests and I aim to use science-based research. So we're going to sort fact from fiction. There is an overwhelming amount of confusing health information out there. So join us to dispel everything that remains misunderstood within the world of wellness. And as always, thank you so much. Gosh, we couldn't do it without you wonderful listeners. Honestly, the messages I receive, the support, the love, it's incredible. And I can't wait to hear what you think of the new season. So let's go. Today's episode on Food for Thought sees not only a friend, but a successful entrepreneur who is managing several different businesses and juggling the highs and lows of motherhood. And she does this all in the eyes of the public. And this is hard because, as we know, life can be overwhelming, it can be intense, yet she always seems to take it in her stride. Now, this week's Food for Thought sees the fantastic Lucy Mecklenburg. She's a mom, she's an author, TV personality, a model, and founder of one of my favorite fitness platforms, Results Wellness Lifestyle. And not forgetting, she's a Bear Grylls survivor. In fact, it's where she met her other half, Ryan. And let's talk with her today about her wellness journey, building a successful business, what it's like to live in the wilderness, and of course, her pregnancy experiences. So a big hello to the fantastic Lucy.
Hi, Rhiannon. It's so nice to be back on your podcast.
I know. Actually, I think about it. When we recorded the first time, it was back in the old studio.
How long ago was it? Years.
I fell in our lives with two kids later.
Yeah, literally. I don't think we had kids then.
Doesn't everything? We didn't have children.
No.
No, were we pregnant? No, we weren't pregnant. It was before we were even pregnant.
A long time ago.
So basically, it was a very, very long time ago. But we're going to discuss today, obviously, the fact that you've got incredible businesses, you are an entrepreneur, and you're balancing mum life. I know you've also just moved house. So thank you for coming into London
moved
today.
Moved house 4 hours as well. No, it wasn't a local move. It was quite a move. But yeah, nice to be back in London for the week.
No, absolutely. And obviously, at the moment as we're doing this, Ryan's brothers in Strictly. Ryan's about to start on Dancing on Ice.
Yes. Yeah, it's really exciting. There is a lot going on.
Yeah.
And juggling it all with two very young children, 3 and 1, the same as yours. It's full on.
I think weirdest at that age, how do you find when you start the morning? You know, the whole us before kids, the whole, oh, we used to have like a morning routine, or at least you had something kind of nice that we used to do. How do you navigate that now, knowing that, you know, you've got Ryan going off to rehearsals here, you've also got work commitments and you've got the children? What are your mornings like?
Chaos. I'm not going to say I've got them perfectly, you know, a perfect routine. I don't think any of us have. We go through phases where we're like, well, yeah, we've got this. We've got this all under control. We're all organised. And then you have a sickness bug, or one of them wakes up at 4 a.m. as you know this morning, Rick.
Yeah.
But it's just trying to be organised. I try and get up before the kids. Yeah. They're pretty good sleepers at the moment, but we're about to hit winter.
Where's
bug,
the wood?
So.
Touch the wood.
Yeah.
I know.
But I try and get up before the kids, get myself ready, get myself like a peppermint tea or something just to like start my day, try and get ahead of everything and get everything ready for the kids and prep their food, prep their milk. And, but, you know, it doesn't always go like that.
it doesn't. But I have to say, you, out of all of my friends or, you know, mums that are equally juggling the work-life balance, you are very chilled. Well,
do
I
you
think come on,
I
come
don't
on,
think
look
Ryan would
you.
Agree with you.
You are my chill person. Like, I think maybe between you and Ryan, you've got this good dynamic, but I often think, how do you stay so zen? Maybe it's because you've lived in a jungle.
You can survive Bear Grylls the island, you can survive anything. Do you know what? I think it's definitely not the case. I think, like everyone, it's finding, I think juggling life in general is hard, and you throw kids into the mix and work that's actually, me and Ryan don't work 9-to-5 jobs. So I think for us, it's like having these like mini resets, like where we sit down and we talk. It's all about communication, and we say, right, what's not working, working with childcare, with socialising, with me and you seeing each other, with housework, with cooking, like whatever it may be, and just sitting there and just all, what are our needs that are missing? Like, I want to work out a bit more. And he might say, I want to work out a bit more. And so we kind of like structure our next couple of weeks, but we do it in like small sections. You know, it's really hard to like plan a whole year and 6 months or whatever, but we, you know, we do it week by week. And things like adding a date night in, and add, you know, I'm gonna, can you take the kids out this day so I can batch cook for a day, so that'll make life a little bit easier every morning, every dinner time, you know, things like that. And is our childcare situation working for us, and how can we tweak that, and do we need a bit more support? So it's kind of like, I call it our mini like little resets, where we communicate and we, you know, we try and work out how we can improve our day to day.
I love it. Reset, excuse the pun, but I think resetting everything is perfect. And about fitness, let's go there. You said working out and taking time for each other. A lot of people will look at you online and they'll see RWL, which, by the way, as you know, I'm huge fan of RWL. I've been a fan of RWL. We mentioned this last time.
Since I
was at uni, before you even took off, I remember discovering RWL and doing it in my uni room, which I love that we've got that kind of organic connection there. But how on earth do you fit workouts in? I mean, you own this fitness platform. You're having to go and film workouts. How do you balance that in the mix?
I think it's really hard. It's teamwork as a family and between me and Ryan and everything else. But I think actually that is why RWL was made in the first place. 10 years ago, I didn't have kids, but I still had a really busy work schedule. And I was like, how do people get to the gym and back, get to classes and back, find the time for, like, I don't know, whatever it is they do. And I was like, I want to bring, you know, like a PT within your home. So if you have 20 minutes, you can literally go, right, up. This is what I try and do if I want to train in the morning. I literally set my alarm.
Yeah.
I have clothes that I can work out in next to me.
Mm-hmm.
I go and get a glass of water and I just press on my phone, go on the app and press the workout. And that's it. So that 20 minutes is utilised. Otherwise, that 20 minutes would be getting to the gym. Or, and I know that works for some people, but I'm time poor and so is a lot of people. And I just wanted to make fitness accessible to everyone within your own home, and also really affordable to for what you actually get. You can do Pilates, yoga, boxing, dance, weights, whatever you want, it's on there.
I mean, you guys were doing it first.
Yeah, we were the first UK online fitness platform.
That's amazing.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. And I think you're one of the first to be approved by the NHS.
Yeah, that was a really, really exciting day for us as a business. You know, we worked really hard and we've had our ups and downs of business, as all businesses do. And when we got that was like a really rewarding moment for all the hard work that we've all put in.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard graft. What I've loved about it is the fact you had like 10-minute workouts. And my whole life I'd had people say there's no point even doing it if it's only 10 minutes. But there really is. It's about mental well-being just as much as physical. And would you say the types of workouts that perhaps you choose from the app now, the things you do, have changed since having a family?
Oh, 100%. I view fitness completely different. What I enjoy is completely different. So before kids, I was very much hit. I mean, it was very in
fashion. Trendy.
It was like the trend. Everyone loved it. It was like quick, high impact. Interval training was the thing. but you couldn't pay me, like, I don't even know what the price would be, but a lot of money to do a blimmin' burpee now. Oh, I absolutely hate that type of training. And I've just evolved and changed. And I think after kids, I kind of viewed exercise differently. I kind of want to reward my body because it was so amazing and it created a life and it went through so much. And I don't know, I wanted to do like Pilates, strength training. I wanted to make it strong. And don't get me wrong, these workouts, bar, Pilates, weights, things I enjoy now, aren't easy. They're really hard. But it just felt different. I felt like I wanted to like look after and just get my body as strong as possible and also make my body as healthy and strong as possible for future, for having my kids and being there as long as I possibly can.
Yeah.
So the whole health, my whole attitude to health completely changed. It wasn't all about looking and feeling good. It was like, I want to be healthy. I want to be here for as long as possible for my kids. And I want to be strong and be able to play with them. And, you know, I mean, lifting up your kids is a workout in its own, right? Housework and having children. Yeah. You're kind of getting a lot in your day, more than you were before anyway.
Mm. Yeah. And I think, I mean, this would apply even to those listening that don't have children as well, I suppose, is the fact that I think something happens in your late 20s. Now, I know my friend Kagi calls it a Saturn return. She's into horoscopes. Other people just say it's what happens when you get to that point in life. But you do start thinking about longevity. You start thinking about how you're going to age. It's these things, the lines appear that you've never noticed before. The aspects
I think
of,
you realise you're not invincible suddenly. I think that's that 30 change, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I'm actually becoming a grown-up now.
Yeah. No, this is just it. You do. You feel like you're a grown-up. But there is a place for, obviously, HIIT and all those different types of workouts, which is why you have them on your platform as well. Like, our friend Jenny, who's one of your trainers, she's like
she loves
interval queen.
HIIT, lit, like, that's her thing. She absolutely loves it.
She loves it, yeah. Whereas we are not really that way inclined. I'm like you, I want to breathe and take my time and do my Pilates. But I think that's just because the high pace of our lives means we need that time out for our mental health to be breathing at the same time as working out. I'm convinced there's something in that. But did you find, so you've also done, what was the show called where you're doing the gymnastics?
Tumble, BBC One Tumble. That was
you
hard.
Actually did a tumble.
That was literally, yeah, that was a really, really hard show. That was physically one of the hardest things. I think for different reasons I've cycled part of the Tour de France for a show. Mm. I've done Bear Grylls surviving with very little for 30 days on an island. And tumble was learning loads of different acro and gymnastics.
Mm.
Disciplines? I don't know.
Disciplines.
I should know.
Yeah.
I should know that. And it was, yeah, tough. And it actually is great. I like doing these physical challenges because it realises how much your body can do and that you're capable of. And yeah, I mean, I don't know about after kids though.
Well, no, but this is the good thing is that...
Although that is the hardest challenge I've ever done.
Yeah, I have to say giving birth might be the hardest thing and then obviously recovering from that. But RWL has obviously grown with it. So do you have any kind of tips that you'd give expectant mums, I suppose, in terms of focusing on themselves? Because I look back, I was still just working like a maniac. I don't think I quite realised the transition ahead of me.
Yeah, I think listen to your body. Mm. So as an overall, you're going through so many changes. Everything's changing, like physically, mentally. Your hormones are, as we know, crazy. So some days you just cry for no reason.
Yeah.
Just make sure you've got a support system around you because a lot's going to change. And if you feel able to move and get out and go for walks or do some training, it is really good for you. Mm. And I know everyone doesn't feel like that's the right thing for them. So I think you just have to listen to you. Like, I didn't train till 13, 14 weeks because the sickness was just, oh my God, I ate beige food and I could barely do anything. And actually, you know what? It's what my body wanted. That's what I did. I listened to it. And then I slowly got back into fitness. And I think just listen to your body but try and move a little bit if you can.
Mm.
And eat well and work on that support system that you're going to need when baby comes. Because I didn't realise that. I mean, I know we had COVID babies, but I didn't realise how important that would be when baby was here, is having people around you to support you through pregnancy and through newborn stage.
I didn't too. I think I thought that I was so capable in in myself at that time. I was completely naive to the what's the phrase they say? It takes a village.
Oh yeah,
I was naive to the village.
I was like, where is this village?
Yeah, where are they? Well, COVID was the exception, but even second time round, I knew this time. I was like, I'm just going to ask for every bit of help. And I don't think I'd have made it through in COVID if we hadn't had each other, because we were the only people we kind of knew that had chosen to breastfeed as well, or had managed to do that. Because even that in itself, having a bit of support was vital.
Yeah, it's a very hard thing to do without support, and it's hugely lacking in this country in general, I think, breastfeeding support and support for new mums.
In general, everything to do with being a new mum. What formula do you pick? And at the moment, there's a cost of living crisis. This is a whole other subject, but mums don't feel supported, that they can't even afford to buy formula packs. There's a lot of problems, I think, in the UK in general with how we treat new mothers. And another area is nutrition. Of course, it's my jam, but we have to be honest, no child is the perfect eater. Mm. And I know that my second was a bit like Roman, in that he just wanted to eat everything. I remember Roman in tears because he'd finished his food. Theo's like that.
And I'm like, I can't give you any more. That's more than my portion.
I know. But then with my first, it was a little bit different with Zaki. And how do you approach nutrition? Because you've also had different battles in that area with the children as well.
Yeah, so we had allergies to contend with. We're completely clear of allergies now. And both of them, Roman had dairy allergy till 3, and Lila for, I don't remember how long it was, but the first stage of weaning, she reacted to dairy and wheat, which it was really hard, a lot harder than just dairy on its own. Wheat is in everything.
Yeah.
So actually, home cooking, like cooking from scratch, was a lot easier. So going to restaurants, sometimes I had to take stuff with me and things like that. But I think for me, as building a plate, I just try and make it look fun, exciting, loads of colours, because that's how I like to eat as well. And then when they can get to the stage to eat the same as us, we literally sit as a family and eat the same food. Mm. And I think that hugely helps. And then you feel like actually there's less of a load, because you're not having to make a million things for everyone, different things. And it is hard sometimes when you make lovely home cooked meals that you're so proud of and they're just not interested. Mm. I kind of learned a lot from my mum with that, is she just sort of went, not in a cruel way, that's your dinner, you know, that's dinner, and leave it there if you're not hungry, but that's dinner.
That's it, come back to it in a bit.
And actually, that approach has really helped me, because 9 times out of 10, Roman might go off and play, or Lila, and then come back when they're hungry. And I know they like it, they've eaten it before, but it's so frustrating. And I know there's so many mums and dads watching, they're probably like, oh, this is, you've spent an hour cooking them this lovely meal and they don't want to eat it. But I kind of took that approach to my mum. This is dinner, this is what we're all eating, so, you know. And it is hard sometimes, but I think, just building a really interesting, colourful plate and trying to give them a balanced diet. I mean, but then I'm not perfect, and some nights, you know, it's cheesy beans on toast. I'm not going to lie.
Do you know what I said to, so we have help during the week as well. We've got a nanny for a few days, and I said to her, please don't use the cans of baked beans, because I want to use them at the weekend. And do you know what? Sometimes, and I'm a nutritionist, and I'm open about that, because I think it helps people listening that no one's got this kind of hierarchy of perfect approach to children's food, because no child is going to be consistent. You know, they push boundaries. The reason they refuse something they've eaten before is because they want to show you they can choose for themselves. They have an opinion. And that's really hard. And when they're poorly and then they're not eating, it's up and down. But I love that you batch cook, and you do a lot of that on RWL as well. You've got a load of recipes on there.
Yeah, we try and make a lot of recipes that are suitable for a whole family, but also really quick. Minimal ingredients, loads of cupboard staples, because sometimes it's just impossible to get out to the shops, isn't it? And then I try and batch cook. Sundays, Mondays are kind of my days that I like to batch cook a few meals. Egg muffins, things like that for breakfast snacks, and big spaghetti bolognese's and stews and curries and things like that. Just easy things that you can grab. So then you do know that evening that sometimes it will be dinner's toast because I haven't batch cooked anything. Yeah, there isn't anything in and I'm exhausted. But then other times it's like, oh yeah, I've got that in the freezer. Yeah. So it just helps a little bit being organised, and especially when you know you've got loads coming up.
I mean, organisation is key. You're right. If you don't have, so my big thing at the moment is if I don't roast a load of veg in a tray when I get home, then I know that my lunch the next day is out the window if I'm working
from home.
That's
my thing. Yeah. I just roast the veg.
Everything.
And I blend it for sauces, put it in omelettes.
Yeah.
Like, that's my go-to. And I think I got that from you, because I remember you saying,
okay, great.
I've seen, because I did a food diary for you once, and you were like, right, add some roasted veg into that salad.
Yeah,
and I thought,
I'm a bit obsessed.
great idea, and I love it. It tastes like sweet and so delicious. Yeah. I just add it to everything.
Talking about your personal journey with food and personal experiences, you're under a lot of pressure. I don't know how you do it. It seems, like I said, you maintain a calm, kind of steady state all the time.
Maybe I'm a duck, though. Like, I'm flapping.
I think you are. Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? And your feet are under the water trying massively to keep up. But you have to go on modelling shoots where you are wearing swimwear. And obviously, you are beautiful. But does that not make you feel a little bit anxious? I mean, post-children, how did you manage that pressure on you?
Actually, weirdly, even though my body isn't the same after children, I put less pressure on it because I'm like, I have had two children. And I also put it into perspective. Does it matter if my body is the... But what is perfect? What is a perfect body anyway? Come on, it's different for everyone. Yeah. And I just try not to put pressure on myself. You know, I try and eat well and exercise regularly, but that's all I can do. And this is who I am and this is what I look like. And that's just it. But of course it comes with pressure. Of course, sometimes I'm like, I did my first swimwear shoot for Very after the kids in last spring, and I did feel a little bit because I looked different. I was breastfeeding, so my boobs were a lot bigger. You know, I just had Lila not long before, so my hips were wider than normal and things were just a little bit different. And you know what, I kind of embraced it and said, you know, this is what I look like, and actually I'm kind of cool with it. I put so much less pressure on myself now for perfection than I did pre-kids.
Yeah, because you've been through such a journey, I think, with the media. And obviously, was it starting out as modelling before you went on the show? Or was it the other way around?
I did showroom modelling, so I worked in London. So I was a showroom model. I worked in fashion before. And then led into sort of a TV kind of career from that.
Yeah, because it's a vast lot of experience you've got in that area. And I think it's so nice to hear a refreshing perspective and change. And also so nice that brands still work with, I shouldn't even be having to contest this, still want to work with mums.
Yeah, I think it's an age thing as well. Like over 30, had kids, like you kind of go, oh, but actually... I think the world's changing in a really positive way, and I don't think that we're kind of kicked to the curb because we're over 30 anymore.
Thank goodness.
And I think that's a real positive change. Yeah. And yeah, I've loved it. And actually, I think it's relatable. I'm in my 30s. I've had kids, and my body's a little bit different, and that's okay. I can still model, and you know,
absolutely. It's about time, I think. And what I think so nice is that there's more role models, people like yourself, for the next generation coming up, because all we grew up with was those glossy magazines of airbrushed images.
Yeah,
we just didn't have access to
that. All every magazine cover was about weight and how you looked, but it wasn't even just weight. It would show if you've got spots. It would show if it anything it could pick up.
They'd zoom in on it and do a red circle, wouldn't they?
It was horrendous circling, like say, like when there was a celebrity on the beach. And it's actually, I don't think we realised the damage that probably did to us all then. And I actually think I was really lucky because in my home, my mum never went on a diet. She never looked in the mirror and said she wasn't happy with the way she looked. And she actually was brought up with a mum that was always on a diet. My nan was on a diet all the time. Yeah. And I think maybe she just went the other way because of that. And she just ate balanced meals. She, you know, exercised when she could. And I don't think she ever wanted to see her say, oh God, I want to lose weight. I'm dieting, or on the extreme diet. She never did. So I think that was a really positive role model in my life, my mum. But unfortunately, we all had these magazines telling us, you know.
Yeah, we did. And it's interesting you say that about the mother role model. Just a little trigger warning for anyone listening, but in eating disorders, the large majority of the time, things we see in the nutrition clinic with our clinicians is the experience they grow up in, what we call their food world, and the dynamic that they learn about their relationship with food. A lot of the time, it's a parent that's been on a diet. It's the language you use. So for anyone listening, if you have children, if try and keep it private from them, your woes with your own body, your self-esteem. We've got to keep that negative language away from children, because that pretty much probably saved you because of the environment you were in at the time.
And even like little rules, I know that sounds silly. My mum always said in the summer, like one ice lolly or ice cream a day. And I know that sounds like such a little thing. Me and my sister were laughing about it the other day because we still live by that. Yeah. Like we see other people, like they'll have, like Ryan would easily have three ice creams a day.
Yeah.
And we still live by that rule now. We're like, oh, we've already had our ice cream for the day.
That's so sweet.
You go, yeah, I have ice cream. But it's just these little things, and always having salad, vegetables on on our plate for every meal. Things like that have just stuck with me and I think really helped me as my overall my nutrition health journey.
But it is, you've got such a good balance with it, and I can vouch for that. I haven't seen it. You've got such a healthy relationship with food. You enjoyed items, and that's the key to it, as well as, you know, you've got such a good balance. You go out way more than me for dinner. I'm so jealous. I need to sort my work-life balance out because you eat at such amazing places all the time.
Our food is life for me. Yeah. Me and Ryan are just absolute foodies.
You are.
If a new restaurant opens or a cuisine we haven't tried, we notice, we're like, right, we're going to book it and we're going to go. We absolutely love, and tapas is our favourite. If we can have like 10 dishes that we can pick from, that is like our dream.
That's so, I remember speaking to Ryan pre-MasterChef and he was so into it.
Yeah.
So keen to be like the perfect cook.
So well. Oh my God, his truffle mushroom risotto.
Looks
he reminded
so good.
Me, I need to make it. Yes. Get him to make me that again.
Yes.
I was pregnant and living the absolute dream while he was doing his training for MasterChef. Yeah. So he's at home like testing out recipes, like 2-3 recipes a day. I mean, my kitchen absolutely was, I was like, oh my God, it's such a mess, but I'll take it for the food.
Yeah, I mean, truffle's one of my favourite ingredients. I think the last question, just to chuck in there, how do you cope with unwanted advice? Unwanted parenting advice. Do you just not look at it anymore? Do you just kind of shut it down?
I think it depends where my hormones are at the moment. I think it's really hard. I think all negative advice, whether it be parenting or not, because when you're on social media and you have a big following on social media, you're always going to get that. So, and actually family and friends around you sometimes say things that you're like,
Mm. Well, you also get headlines in the press about what you say online. They pick it up and it's next day, it's a feature in the Sun. Oh, Lucy said this.
Yep. I think as long as you trust what you're doing and your gut instincts and you're happy with, do you know what I mean? Your attitude to parenting or life or whatever it may be, just go with your gut. And actually, sometimes I turn it on the other person and think, well, what's happened in your day and your life that made you feel like you had to send me this horrible message? And actually, when you think that, you feel quite sorry for them, that I would never, and I'm hoping no one I know and in my circle of friends and family would ever do that. So maybe they're in a really bad place. So I just think, go with your gut and, you know, that's all you can do, really. Yeah. And try and block it out. And maybe feel sorry for them.
How did you get that trust, that circle of trust? Because I've spoken to lots of people on this podcast that have questioned, and I think obviously relating to nutrition, whatever field they may be in, trust is a huge component, I think, to a healthy relationship with yourself and others. It's hard.
I don't know the answer to that. I think I just get a good vibe from people. Yeah. And, you know, I come to you as a friend, as a nutritionist that I trust, and I know that you're going to give me good advice as a friend and as a nutritionist.
Well, you never know. Maybe I've been selling you some secret potion, Luce.
You definitely haven't.
No, for the record, I really haven't, guys. Just so you know, shouldn't be putting myself down like that. But I think you're right. It's a gut feeling. And it leads me on to this particular question, because we've got loads of questions from listeners today. The one from Taylor here is that she said, I find it really, really hard to eat healthily. I'm bombarded with advice. I don't really know what to do. Have you got any top tips of recipes to stop myself reaching for children's snacks? Because I think we've all been there. I even ate Zachary's Gruffalo biscuits the other day.
Oh God. And that's bad because they really don't taste great.
Oh,
do
horrible.
They because they've got no sugar in or anything, have they?
I know.
I think, like we were saying, just try and be organized, try and batch cook things, because it is really hard. But I'd say my easiest thing that I batch cook and prep is like roasted veg sauces, because they kind of go with anything, and then you feel like, okay, I've got that covered. That can go in pasta, risotto. It can go, I can use the veggies for my whatever dinner, lunch it is. But it is really hard trying to be organised, try and write shopping lists. I know it sounds silly, but if you don't write a shopping list, you end up getting back with all this stuff that you can't actually do anything
with, or
it goes to waste.
Yeah. So when you write the shopping list, make sure you've got a meal in mind that you're going to build with that shopping list. Because a lot of the time people go, this happens in the clinic all the time, it's like teaching how to shop, because we've never been taught how to go to a supermarket strategically.
True.
And did you know, so I had Chris Bavin on, I think it was like season 30, I'm trying to remind myself what season it was. He does all the kind of how to shop well kind of TV shows, he told me the supermarkets gear it up in a very specific way. So they put the aisles that people don't want to spend any time to, you know, at certain places where you don't see them, where you do see them. And it's a strategic journey around the aisle.
No way.
So they have people watching and they do market research like every month or two to turn over the aisles to make sure that all the stuff that's maybe gone at a faster rate last month is going to be at the front of the shelves to make sure that people keep buying those convenience products. And then everything else to like,
I suppose it's a business. It's a business.
Have you noticed that herbs and spices have got smaller on the shop shelves? So things... cooking from scratch ingredients, and then all it's just not there anymore.
That's
so
crazy.
It's there to trick us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because I try and base my shopping around three meals, and you actually find that loads of the ingredients cross over.
Yeah.
So then you're like, it's less food waste, less money.
But you probably will end up going back and forth around the shop for those ingredients because they don't design it in a way. Yeah, where it's easy for you.
If someone's watching on the camera, I must look like a lunatic going back, forward, round and round.
And you're looking, you're actually spending time like, where is this ingredient? And it's because they've done it deliberately to put you off wanting to shop in that style.
Wow.
I know. Anyway, it blew my mind. I remember thinking that. So we all haven't been taught how to shop in the supermarkets. It's crazy. Bit of a question from Cecilia. How do you avoid all the diet trends and the myths? I think she just assumes you go and maybe juice diets and stuff like that.
I've had my phase maybe trying the whole juice thing, but I could never live without food. So I'd have a green juice, but I'd still eat my meals. Yeah. I never replaced. And actually, I did feel great for just adding it in, but not replacing a whole meal from it. But I always think it's back to basics. Just go back to basics. Eat like your grandparents.
Yeah.
You know, they had probably the smallest bit on their meal was probably their meat and fish. And then
the size of ours today.
I can imagine. I actually saw you post something about that and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And, you know, go back to basics. If you can cook as much from scratch as possible, but just try and get a balance of different things every day if you can and different colours on your plate. And I kind of just live by that. I don't really have any strict diet, but to be completely honest, I don't think I'd ever be able to stick to a diet because I just love food too much.
Do you know, it's so true. You are the thing I have to say about Lucy, everyone listening, is that she really does love food, and there's never going to be an opportunity for you to ever fall victim to one of these faddy diets because you're not about that. You've got RWL. I think you've known for years that it's just about eating well and moving your body and feeling good.
Yeah, the Mediterranean way of life is kind of the ultimate for me.
It's really good.
And they live the longest, right? So they must be doing something right.
I know they do. There's a lot of talk about blue zones at the moment, and they all follow a Mediterranean style diet, lots of pulses and things as well. The last question I'm going to pick here, because I feel like we answered the other ones there. Let's go to Sophia. Right, how do I make exercise fun and enjoyable so I can do it more often? So what would be your tip there for someone else to make it fun?
Do you know, I actually think she's in a really exciting stage because she can go and try everything out. So either using RWL, because we have literally every exercise on there, or going to local classes, going for a run, going on a bike ride. Try every exercise. Maybe find a friend, family member or a friend to do it with you, and just write this. I think this phase is really exciting. Me and Cecilia used to do this all the time. We used to try out
cracks me
all
up.
The classes. She took me to this like Zumba style class in Miami, because her parents lived in Miami, and we went to this Zumba style class, and she didn't tell me they were like basically professional dancers. I thought I could move a little bit and follow a basic routine. I was falling over my feet. Everyone just had this rhythm and oh my God. I was like, this is... But anyway, it was fun. And then we'd try, I remember when Bar first came out, Pilates, Reformer Pilates, everything. Just try it out. Go for a run. You might really enjoy it. And try them all out a couple of times. See how you get on. Find one or two that you love and then stay consistent. Because if you enjoy the exercise you do, you are more likely to stay consistent.
Yeah.
And keep it up. So I would say this is actually, don't be nervous. Don't be scared. Don't be overwhelmed. Just have some fun and try everything out. And if nothing else, you'll have some funny stories.
I love that. Exactly. And do you know what? I even remember when we were doing that dance thing on one of your retreats, and we were both pregnant and we both had bellies and we just could not move. You know?
No rhythm, no coordination, no balance.
It was so funny. It was so funny. So yeah, go for it. Enjoy it. Now, that moves me on to our fact or fiction round. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Let's go.
Right. You are never too old to work out.
Oh, fiction.
Strength training can improve an array of health benefits, like improving bone health and improved heart health.
Fact, and so much more.
Yeah, exactly. And just by the way, our strength training doesn't have to just be lifting up weights. It can be the kids.
Literally, yeah.
Anything there. It's impossible to fit a workout in when you're both a busy working mum.
Oh, fiction. You can. It is hard. It can be hard. But yeah, of course.
All workouts have to be intense and sweaty to be effective.
Fiction.
Thank goodness. Signing up to a new fitness or wellness routine and lifestyle can be hugely positive and healthy.
Fact.
Brilliant. New mums should get advice from their doctor before starting an exercise plan.
Fact.
Being active and healthy means you have to spend hours in the gym.
Fiction.
Getting children involved in cooking can be an effective way of teaching them about nutritious food choices.
Fact.
And then in order to lose pregnancy weight post-birth, you must follow a strict diet and exercise regime.
Absolutely not. Fiction.
We're going to touch on that after. Falling in love with home fitness is impossible.
Fiction.
Brilliant. Right, let's just touch on this weight because you were very refreshingly honest about pregnancy weight. I think you may have had a bit more subliminal pressure on you because of the career you have in order to lose pregnancy, because you gained a lot in your pregnancies compared to... Actually, second, you didn't. It was the first one with Roman.
No, I gained 4 with Roman, 4 stone with Roman, and 3 stone with Lila.
Yeah.
Roughly. I mean, I tried not to weigh myself too much. But I kind of wanted to, and they did weigh me.
It's optional, isn't it? The midwives say, if this is triggering for anyone, you don't have to look at the numbers, but sometimes they do it just to check the growth.
Yeah, exactly. So I did, so 3 stone and 4 stone, which is, it's quite a lot of weight. But I didn't, it was really strange because afterwards I was worried how I would feel about my body and this weight that I'd never had before, this extra weight that I'd never had before. But actually, I was really chilled. Like, it wasn't until 6 months postpartum that I actually started training again.
I remember, yeah.
But I actually, it did naturally go. I think I left the hospital 2.5 stone lighter. So these people that used to say to me, oh, you can't put on more than 0.5 stone when you're pregnant, I lost 2.5 stone giving birth.
I know.
So that was obviously water, fluid, baby, placenta, everything. So just anyone listening that is worried about that, like, please, you know, please take that on board and don't worry too much. And yeah, it naturally came off. I ate a bit beige and at the beginning, and I was breastfeeding near enough every hour for months, and it was really, really tough. But at 6 months, when I was getting a bit of sleep and I felt good, I really focused on my nutrition. Ryan was feeding me really well, I should add.
Yeah.
Really good breakfast that I needed after long marathon nights of breastfeeding. And then at 6 months, I was like, right, actually, I'm gonna do a bit more than walking now. I want to start some Pilates. I want to start some weights. And I got back into a rhythm, and naturally the weight did come off, but I didn't try. No. And a lot of my friends, when they ask for advice, I say, just try and rest. Firstly, rest, recover, let your body recover.
Yeah.
If you train too early, that I think it puts so much stress on your body. I mean, you'll know more about this than me, Ree, but I think that stress is going to have the opposite effect.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that you just said, you didn't exercise till 6 months postpartum, which is so good to hear, because a lot of people you see online now, 6 week check, here I go. I mean,
we're great for them. If they feel ready and they're getting enough sleep and they feel good and they've been checked, they've had their checks,
but not
and they're
everyone
great.
Can do that.
But in reality, I think a lot of us are very sleep deprived, very tired. And I couldn't think of anything worse.
Nor could I. I think it took me more like 10, 11 months second time around to even want to think about it. I was just exhausted.
And also, your day to day being a mum is, you know, you're doing a lot.
Yeah.
You know, even the housework, the washing, the up and down the stairs to grab, you know, everything, lifting the baby up and down constantly and getting in and out the car seat. No one tells you about how heavy a car seat is.
Oh my goodness, I know. And then getting the prams in and out of the car, all of it.
So weight training pregnancy, maybe,
Add
that in.
Absolutely. Oh, Luce, I could talk to you forever about all of this. We do have to wrap it up, but we always finish with a take-home message and a food for thought. So, I mean, I'll start by just saying how refreshing it is, first of all. Obviously, seeing your journey flourish has been amazing from what I've been a part of it with you as a friend. But equally, the fact that you've got this incredible platform that is NHS approved, which means that it's decent. Anybody, you've even got chair workouts on there for people that cannot move, you know, with mobility, that just to get moving a slight bit. Exercise and nutrition is about mental health. It's about being present. It's about being able to be there long term with your family. And I think so often in today's society, like we've discussed, that gets forgotten. So my take home is really just, everyone, you deserve to be happy and healthy, I think. what would your take-home tip be?
I'm not sure how I can follow advice. That, Ray.
Oh, no, mine's always waffle. The guest is always way more coherent than me.
Oh, God. I mean, we've had quite a chat today. I actually think, you know, we've spoke about fitness and nutrition and the struggles of being a new mum. And I actually think taking a break for yourself might be a good... We're all so busy and we put so much pressure on ourselves to look a certain way, getting our workouts, us and our kids, our families, to eat well, eat balanced, eat a balanced diet. But actually, we haven't really spoke about how maybe we need a little relax, a little chill time.
Taking the hint.
Ree, maybe. She's a workaholic, super mum over here.
I think I do need a break.
And actually, sometimes we need to take a step back for ourselves and get a little bit of me time in and a bit of think about what you want to do, what you're missing. And the other day I just like went for a coffee and a walk on my own for like 2-3 hours and it was like the best feeling ever. And I just needed it. And the other day I had an afternoon nap. I mean,
good girl.
But
well
these
done.
Things are so important. And actually we focus so much on nutrition and fitness, but actually sometimes mindset, like taking a little break, looking after our mental health, I think is just as important, if not more important.
Oh, see, I told you your take-home message would be amazing. Lucy, thank you so much for coming on Food for Thought.
Thanks, Ray.
Right, that's it. If you're enjoying Food for Thought, you will love what we have coming up in future episodes, I have no doubt. So if you're not already, you just have to hit the subscribe button on your podcast app. So this means you get a little notification bell. I wish I'd known about it earlier, so you don't miss out on the new episode. And it comes out every single Monday. We've been doing Mondays since the start of Food for Thought. We're now on series 16. There is a lot of misinformation out there, and I really hope that we're continuing to bring you the latest research along with our special guests to ensure that you're just getting the best experience possible. So if you are enjoying our episodes and you're learning lots, then please do leave us a review or get in touch. This will help enormously and ultimately help us reach more people and make sure we're doing the right thing by you and giving you the right information. So if you want to learn more about the best-selling books, the clinic, perhaps you need to book in to see one of our fantastic clinicians, or to find out more about Retrition Plus, you can find everything you need to know on retrition.com. And you can follow, of course, me on Retrition on all social media platforms. Yes, I'm even on TikTok now, guys. So you can head over there and check it out.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.